Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Network. Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown! Aho, Kenyon Drake! A miracle!
Murray heaves it downfield. It is caught! It is caught! DeAndre Hopkins! Miraculous!
Fires, Mike Sims, Walker!
We are off and running in today's edition of Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius Channel 159, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz taking you around the league of the NFL. Great action yesterday. We do have that big ball game in Arizona later tonight between Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals taking on the LA Rams. Arizona right now, best team in the NFC, 10-2 overall, 2-point favorites on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We saw Matt Stafford and the crew step up last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Can they do it on the road later tonight? George and I'll dive into that game a little bit later, but there were some dynamic performances in week 14. We saw Pat Mahomes, we saw the Kansas City Chiefs open basically as 10-point favorites in Arrowhead. They started fast, built a 35-0 first half lead, never turned away. They win that ball game going away 48-9. Mahomes, 258 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. This is a team in Kansas City now that is basically hitting on all cylinders. The offense is starting to come around. Darrell Williams in terms of the running game, but more importantly, his ability to catch passes out of the backfield started the scoring yesterday with a 29-yard touchdown reception. That gives another weapon to Patrick Mahomes. And you've seen teams take away Travis Kelce. They've taken away Tyreek Hill to a degree, but it is Darrell Williams now stepping up in that offense. And when you have a defense now that is just clamping down and shutting down opposing quarterbacks now in basically 6 straight weeks, this is now the best team, in my opinion, heading into week number 15. And that's not to take away from Mac Jones and the New England Patriots. It's just that Andy Reid, this offense has multiple playmakers that they can go to. Pat Mahomes has been there. That defense now has been opportunistic in back-to-back weeks, and I think they are a lethal team heading into week number 15. How about Tom Brady? All he does is win, baby. They built a 24-3 first half lead against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. They were only laying 3.5 in that ballgame. They made some plays through the air. Mike Evans stepped up. Tom Brady threw his 700th touchdown pass, including the playoffs. Think about that. 700 career touchdown passes. It was an amazing feat. He did throw for 363 yards in that ballgame, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. But you got to credit McDermott. You got to credit the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. They made second half adjustments. Josh Allen gets into striking distance with a 29-yard touchdown run, cuts that deficit to 24-10. And lo and behold, in the fourth quarter, they come on in terms of just pouring it on the Tampa Bay defense, scoring at will through the air. Cole Beasley, Stephon Diggs, they tie the ball game up in regulation at 27 apiece. And what happens? All of a sudden, Rashad Perriman, the long-lost wide receiver. It wasn't Godwin. It wasn't Mike Evans. It wasn't Tyler Johnson. It was Rashad Perriman that catches a 58-yard touchdown from Tom Brady to give the Buccaneers the win. And more importantly, we know when you get the cover, that's what matters most. They walk away in style, 33-27. Dynamic effort in Tampa last night. And then that game last night in Lambeau Field. I mean, a lot of people were on the Chicago Bears, including myself. That line opened up at 12.5. It got bet down before game time. right in the area of about 11.5. Chicago and Matt Nagy step up. They have a 10-point first quarter lead. It looks like, hey, Chicago's going to be in this ballgame. Green Bay takes the lead in the second quarter. They're up basically 21-17. Jakeem Grant returns a punt. They're back up by 10 points. And what happens? The wheels come off of Justin Fields and the Chicago offense. He throws a pick six to Rashad Douglas. That really changed the complexity of that ballgame, gave Aaron Rodgers and that team momentum. And they win it going away in style. At home, 45-30. They were up by 18 points late in the fourth quarter. It looked like potentially Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears were in striking distance to get the backdoor cover. What does Matt Nagy do? Yeah, you're right. You guessed it. He kicks a field goal down 18 points to cut the deficit to 15 and allows Green Bay to walk away with the cover. Justin Fields was in striking distance inside the 30-yard line. A 4th-and-8 goes incomplete, and somehow, someway, Green Bay walks away with a 15-point win at home. Aaron Rodgers, 341 passing yards, 4 touchdowns. Devontae Adams stepped up with 2 touchdowns on the afternoon, on the evening. A.J. Dillon steps up with a solid performance. He was utilized in the running game with Aaron Jones. And all Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers do is they win. They're like Tom Brady. I mean, they are on right now, I think, a collision course. The 3 best teams in the NFC right now, depending upon tonight's action. Arizona, touchdown Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you guessed it, Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. When we come back, we'll dive into tonight's game. We'll also get you prepared for Week 15, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on The Grid coming back. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz, recapping NFL week number 14. Gentleman George Kurtz will be joining us in just a couple of minutes. We'll dive into the game a little bit later tonight between Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals, taking on Matt Stafford, the LA Rams. You look at the line on this ball game right now, a measly 2 points separate both of these teams. Arizona is the small favorite at home on the FanDuel Sportsbook, minus 114. On the Cardinals. When you look at the Rams, you want to take a shot with the 2 points. They are minus 106. Total set at 51, minus 110 either way. I have to be honest with you. When you just look at the body of work for week 14, hasn't been a whole lot of underdogs that stepped up. It looked like maybe in the 4 o'clock window, you were going to get that with a couple of teams. Obviously, the Lions were in striking distance in the first half, got blown out by the Denver Broncos, 31-10. Giants never even showed up with Mike Glennon and the crew. But Buffalo was in striking distance to cover that number along with Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. They tied that game up. Both games went to overtime, and both favorites did prevail. You look at the body of work just from favorites overall in week 14 heading into tonight's battle, 9-3. So when you look at this line overall, it's a short number, under the key number of 3. You have Arizona that dominated the first performance in week 4, 37-20. Kyler Murray basically on his way to 100%, stepped up last week with a 4-touchdown performance, 2 through the air, 2 on the ground. We know about Matt Stafford. Up until last week's performance against Jacksonville, had 3 straight games where he threw a pick 6. They're 8-4 overall. Sony Michel did step up last week with a 100-yard rushing performance. I think this is a game where LA gets right, and I'm not a lover of Matt Stafford in any capacity. Do not get me wrong, but the fact that this line is basically a pick, it's +2, I think this is a line that the underdog does cover in the LA Rams. They're going to have to get those playmakers involved. They cannot get, in my opinion, into a shootout. I think they want to run the football on that front 7 of Arizona, sustain some drives. Obviously, Matt Stafford stepped up, but in recent weeks, he's still been inconsistent. I don't count that performance against a pathetic pathetic Jacksonville team right now where Urban Meyer is anything. They should have blown them out at home 37-7. Look for the running game to get going. If they can run the football early, jump up, then I think that's the recipe to win this ball game. Now, keep in mind, the other short underdog yesterday was basically the Baltimore Ravens. And Lamar Jackson goes down. It looks like they're dead and buried it down 24-3. Tyler Huntley thought he was playing Oregon in Salt Lake City. Kid steps up. He's making dynamic plays. He gets them within 24-15. And I'm like, there's no way they're going to cover this game, right? There's no way Baltimore's going to come back without Lamar Jackson. The money was pouring in on Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. Even from an in-game perspective, that line got as high as 18.5. And sure enough, in the last minute, Baltimore doesn't get the win, but they do get the cover by a half, losing that matchup 24-22. You see a similar line tonight with the two-point number instilled in Arizona. That's an indicator for me. It's obviously not a big number, so basically you just need the team to win out. Give me the Rams. Also like them outright if you want to take a shot, plus the 110 on the money line on FanDuel. Could be live. I'll tweet out some prop bets a little bit later in terms of what I think. It's usually when you look at these prop bets as well, and we saw it last night. I was on A.J. Dillon over his 50, I think it was 56.5. He did rush for around 63 yards in that ball game. Liked some other players as well. Justin Fields over 33.5. He sailed through that with about 45 rushing yards. Both quarterbacks went through their total as well. Aaron Rodgers was set at like 260 and a hook. Throws for over 300. And Justin Fields had a very small number as well in terms of the passing game. It was like 189.5. So we'll see how this game plays out. I'll tweet out some picks a little bit later on Twitter. But let's look at week 15 and recap and turn our attention to the ball game on Thursday night. You have Kansas City on the road to face Justin Herbert and the LA Chargers. LA right now is a 3.5-point home dog on Thursday night, minus 118 if you want to take a shot on the Chargers. When you look at the Chiefs right now, minus 104. Now, this is a defense that we talked about, just stepping up and taking names later, making opposing offenses completely one-dimensional. When you look at the performance yesterday by Justin Herbert, 275 through the air, 3 touchdowns against a pretty good Giants defense. That's the one thing I think when you just look at the Giants as a whole, offense sucks. Defense is pretty good. They force teams to methodically work down the field, don't give up a whole lot of chunk plays. So that was a pretty good effort in terms of putting up and tacking on 37 points on that Giants defense. They're home dogs here. I know the money's going to come in on Kansas City, but you know what? The one thing that LA showed me yesterday, that was the first time all year where they actually put back-to-back games together. They've been a helter-skelter team basically since the middle of the season, you know, where they win one, then they come back the following week, it's a pathetic performance. Then they win again, and you're like, okay, I'm buying in, and then all of a sudden they take 2 steps back. And then you're like, you're selling them, and then all of a sudden they go on the road to Cincinnati and tack on a 41 spot to Joe Burrow and the crew, and they win that ball game by 19. And now all of a sudden, without Mike Williams, at least at the start of the week, right? Keenan Allen was out. Mike Williams did return. There were a lot of moving parts heading into yesterday's game against the New York Giants, and they did not miss a beat. And it wasn't Austin Eckler. It was the passing game led by Justin Herbert. Austin Eckler only had 51 yards on the ground. So I sort of am buying into the LA Chargers here to potentially step up. And the fact that it is over the key number of 3, early on, I'm leaning to LA in this ballgame. Total is set at 50.5, minus 110. Could see the game trending under. Yesterday's game was an over, 35-21. Dynamic performance if you took the over 43. Mike Glennon's a complete turnover machine for the New York Giants as well. So early on, like the Chargers plus the 3.5, lean to the under because of how Kansas City's defense is playing in that ballgame. On the flip side, we'll turn our attention to the Saturday night game. Now, this week in week 15, we have the Saturday night action. We have Indianapolis taking on Mac Jones and the New England Patriots. Talk about a battle, because this is an Indianapolis team now that is starting to find their identity. Pounding the rock with Jonathan Taylor. Their defense is stepping up, forcing turnovers. And on the flip side, you have a New England Patriots team that believes that they can not only win the AFC East, but they believe they could be a Super Bowl contender. Even with the rookie quarterback, they have the coach to do it. They have the recipe. They have the younger players buying in. They have now playmakers like Nelson Aguilar and Kendrick Bourne stepping up in terms of the passing game. And when you dominate Buffalo in terms of a 200-yard performance without only throwing three passes, hey, you can win on the road. You can win by running the football and playing sound defense. Now, when you look at this line on Saturday night, Indy is a 1.5-point home favorite over Mac Jones and the crew. -110 either way. 45.5 is the total. Now, remember the days of Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. These were one of the best games in terms of the AFC, just complete shootouts. Whichever team had the ball in the end usually won it. Now you look at the total, it's like 45.5. Both teams might run 90 times combined in this ball game, because that's the strength of both ball clubs. New England doesn't really want to rely on Mac Jones on the road. And certainly Indianapolis doesn't want to rely on Carson Wentz to potentially pull out a victory over the AFC leading New England Patriots early on. I'm buying in now. You got me. I like the Patriots plus the 1.5 on the road. I hate Carson Wentz. Think the game does go over. When we come back, we'll talk about the NFC East, Washington, and Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Protocol, male, female, Pop Warner, Little Scholars, academic achievement. They have it all. Kudos to the kids, upward and onward. Sports Professor Rick Harrell. Sports News Minute.
Studies show that in order for you to experience consistent winning,
you need a plan,
a strategy,
something you can trust to give you the edge 24 hours a day,
7 days a week.
We make it simple for you.
You're listening
to the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing the recaps of NFL action week number 14, we left off talking about the battle in Indianapolis Saturday night between the Colts and Patriots. Going to turn our attention to Washington and Philadelphia, but before we do that, we welcome in the one, the only, gentleman George Kurtz, who got drunk yesterday after that dynamic performance by Dak Prescott and the crew. 18-0 in the second quarter. George thought it would be a ride in the park, and all of a sudden, Taylor Heineke and the crew made it a 7-point game. George was a little bit nervous, but the Dallas Cowboys do hang on for the 7-point win and cover. George, that was a solid performance against one of the hottest teams in the NFC in terms of Washington stepping up. They were hitting on all cylinders. A lot of people were backing them as a 6.5-point dog, but got to give credit to Dallas and that defense for making plays when they had to.
Yeah, the defense played great. And I said, it's amazing at this point in the season, Joe, that I am much more worried about the offense than I am the defense. I mean, it's not even close. Much more worried about what Dak is going, what he's doing here. He's terrible right now, just completely awful, while the defense looks great. Absolutely great. Playing on all cylinders here. You got Randy Gregory back. You got DeMarcus Lawrence back. Micah Parsons looks like, forget the rookie player of the year. How about defensive player of the year? Overall, there, it's been fantastic for the Cowboys here. If they can get this offense in gear and figure out what is wrong with Dak, because he's been horrible since he came back from the calf injury. Is there something else going on there they're not telling us? Was it a tear and not just a pull? And he can play through it, but he can't play well. Whatever it is, he doesn't look good at all right now, and that's the issue. And Zeke looks about done as well.
Yeah, not only that. I mean, if Tony Pollard's not involved in that offense, they are completely one-dimensional. In terms of, Zeke got 50 yards, I get it. But when Pollard's in there, it's just a different animal. I mean, they have intensity. He's explosive. He can be used in the short to intermediate passing game. Defenses have to account for him. He just runs with different authority than Zeke right now. And Zeke is a bigger back, but I feel like Pollard runs heavier, if that makes sense to you.
No, Pollard's the better back. The problem is he's got the plantar fasciitis, right? He's got a partial tear there. And from what we're hearing, you're better off if you tear it completely. Completely. That's actually better for this kind of injury. You need to tear it completely. So this is not really a one-week thing where he'll be fine next week. It could be multiple weeks. It could be over a month before it truly gets better here. Now the Cowboys, that win yesterday does allow, give them some breathing room. The division is all but over now. You know, they may not be able to move from the fourth seed anyway. They do seem to be on a collision course with the Rams for that first playoff game. So you could just look at it that way and get Pollard ready for that game. But he is the better back right now. The only thing you could the reason why the Cowboys keep playing Elliott over Pollard is because Elliott is much better in pass protection, picking up the blitz. Everything else, Pollard's better.
Yeah, I agree with you. We'll see how that plays out. And remember, Dallas lost to the L.A. Rams a few years ago in the playoff spot, so could be a rematch of that playoff game a couple of years ago. We'll see how it does play out in terms of the last 4 weeks of the season. Let's turn our attention to that battle this week, obviously, between Washington and the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles coming off a bye. Gardner Minshew did get the last start over the New York Jets. Will Jalen Hurts play? Won't he play? Do you roll the dice and give the reins to Minshew after last week's or 2 weeks ago, his performance? I mean, right now, I mean, I still am a buyer out of both teams right now. I'm more of a believer in Ron Rivera and the Washington football team. I like Taylor Heineke. I feel like they have an identity. Now, granted, without Logan Thomas and some of those playmakers, they are a little bit one-dimensional. But I still like the physicality of the offense and defensive lines. That can keep them within ball games. So when you look at this early line right now in terms of this matchup, Washington is a four-point dog on the road in Lincoln. Remember, this is the game that they won at the end of the regular season last year with Doug Peterson. I'm going to take the gimme 4 points. I think they win this ball game outright, plus 172 on the money line.
You know, Washington, they got beat up yesterday, right? Heineke actually didn't finish the game. Kyle Allen was the one who was leading that comeback there. So they got beat up there, and I think Dallas may have shown a blueprint of how to go after them. Go after that offensive line. Their defensive line was in shambles yesterday as well. They had, include Chase Young. They lost four starters. Now, four defensive ends were down, which means you should have plenty of time to throw against them, right? You should be able to sit back there and almost do what you want. That being said, you know, Philadelphia coming off that week's rest here, I think I'm going to like the Eagles in this game. McLaurin's also got a concussion. I assume he'll be okay by Sunday, but we don't know that for sure. Yes, but he's in concussion protocol, so we don't know what's going to happen there. So I'm going to go with the Eagles coming off the rest here. Washington got a tough stretch. They just played Dallas, Philadelphia, Dallas, Philadelphia. So we'll see here, but I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles got sort of what they wanted yesterday. They wanted Dallas to win to sort of put Washington back, and now they got a chance to get this playoff, to get a wild card spot again. A lost a chance at the division, but a chance to get the wild card spot. Give me Philadelphia.
Yeah, I tell you what, the recipe to any team that's in a struggle is the New York Jets, right? Taysom Hill in New Orleans comes into MetLife. They were 5-7 overall. The offense looked pathetic. Taysom Hill, the $10 million per year man, 4 interceptions against the Dallas Cowboys, no rushing attack. All of a sudden, you play the New York Jets. Alvin Kamara perks up. He's in uniform yesterday. Taysom Hill steps up. They tack on 30 to get the win and road cover against the New York Jets in dominating fashion. And when you look at this Jets team right now, obviously no weapons in yesterday's matchup. They go on the road to face AFC East opponent Miami. That's 6-7 overall. They're coming out of a bye week. Miami and Brian Flores, they've won 5 straight. This team is believing after starting the season 1-7, you have an opportunity to step up and become 500. A huge number, George. Huge. They're laying 8.5 at home in South Beach to Zach Wilson and the crew, -110 either way. Total set at 43. Remember Joe Flacco last year? He got hit like a pinata. They lost that ball game 24-0 in the rain. I got to be honest with you. I think Miami wins, but this is a ball game the Jets do find a way to cover.
All right. I definitely think Miami wins. Really not much doubt that Miami wins the game. The question is, can they cover? That is a big number for the Dolphins. Not exactly an offensive dynamo here. They're coming off a bye, though. Now, they've got a couple of their running backs, Gaskin and Amanda, both in COVID protocols. Once again, I think they might get out, but we don't know for sure yet. So that's that's it. I think, once again, if you're asking me right now, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to take the Jets. When we talk about this on Friday, I'm probably, if everything's going well for Miami, going to change my mind here and end up going with the Miami Dolphins on this. But right now, I'll take the Jets only because of the uncertainty regarding Miami here and their running back situation. They're the better team. Coming up a bye, they're going to win the game. It's just a matter by how much, really, it is. Right now, I'll go with the Jets, but I think I'll end up changing.
Yeah, just because it's a conference game, they lost last time, right? 24-17. Miami was a 3.5-point favorite in that ball game. That was the game that Joe Flacco started. Remember, it was basically, I believe it was a 14-0 first half lead. Then it was tied at 17 apiece before Miami did get the go-ahead touchdown in the fourth quarter. How about the New York Giants? You know, we put out a report a couple weeks ago that Daniel Jones is done for the year. The team would not confirm that. They came out last week at the start of the week, said Jake Fromm would get the start. The kid was there a week. Didn't matter. I mean, Jake Fromm wasn't going to lead the Giants to the promised land yesterday on the road in L.A. against Justin Herbert. But that being said, Mike Glennon steps up. Complete turnover machine. They did tack on 21 points in garbage time. But you look at Dallas on the road to face the New York Giants, 10.5. Georgie boy, 10.5 in this matchup, whether Dak is hurt or not. I mean, we know about this Giant team, no identity. I think they're going to start packing it in. You're coming on, they went from Miami to LA, now back home, divisional opponent, but I can only look Dallas here. Total is set at 44.5, -110 either way. I still think this game creeps over the total, but I like the Cowboys to cover this line.
Giants are a mess because you don't know who's playing next week, right? Kadarius Toney coming back. What receivers are coming back? Is Daniel Jones going to play? I don't think he is. He's seeing a specialist today. Looks like I think they're going to shut him down.
He's done. I think he's done. The report came from Wesley Steinberg 2 weeks ago saying that, you know, it takes a 4 to 6 week window to return, and the team will not report it because they don't want anybody to have an edge on their offense. I tell you what. Even if the teams didn't have an edge on their offense, they're completely pathetic because they don't throw more than 10 yards. So the Giants scoring more than 13, 14 points is really about a 99 million of one shot. The only way they tacked on 21 is because basically L.A. gave it to them.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think he's playing either. So at least you have Mike Glennon. I know the fans are clamoring for Jake Fromm. They just want somebody different here. I don't think they're going to go that direction. They're going to want to try and give the Cowboys some kind of game here. I'm going to go with the Cowboys as well. I am very hesitant on this because of that offense, but that defense plays anywhere near what they did yesterday. The Giants won't be able to put up more than 12, 13 points, you know, and that's really going to be the key to this game here. So give me the Cowboys. I'm going to take the Cowboys in the defense as well here. They'll create some turnovers. They'll make it a mess for the Giants. Give me Dallas.
Let me ask you this, because we talked about Dallas prior to last week's game. Right? Prior to the game against Washington, do you still feel they could potentially be a contender? Yes or no? At 12-1 to win it all?
Not with this offense, not right now.
I sort of believe it, George. I really do. I think somehow, some way, as long as Dak is healthy, this defense can carry them enough to at least get to the championship game, and then it's anybody's business. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the other games. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Breaking down week number 15, some really good games, George, in terms of the action. I mean, divisional games, we talked about Washington and Philadelphia. We talked about the Jets and Dolphins, Dallas and the New York Giants. How about this one? You have Tennessee and Pittsburgh, which I think is a very intriguing game. We saw Tennessee step up yesterday, completely shut down Trevor Lawrence and that offense, shut them out 20-0. Ryan Tannehill stepped up. That running attack is not going for Tennessee right now, but when you force four turnovers and interceptions against Trevor Lawrence, you have an opportunity to win ball games. That's what they were able to do in terms of that run against Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and then Matt Stafford. They certainly could do it against Big Ben Roethlisberger. That, you know, this team was in striking distance. They were catching 3.5 Thursday night against Minnesota. We know about the situation with Claypool. Freiermuth drops the touchdown. They have Tennessee instilled early on FanDuel as a small 2-point road favorite. Total is 41 and a hook. Man, I can't buy into Pittsburgh right here. Give me Tennessee early on, but I do like the total of 41 and a half because I believe that Pittsburgh found something in the second half against Minnesota, and if Tomlin and the crew are going to make a run, they got to open it up. Maybe it's hurry up the whole game.
Yeah, which Pittsburgh team are we going to get? The first half against Minnesota, that was utterly pathetic. Well, the second half, which looked very good again. You know, sort of like what we saw against the Chargers, right? Same thing here. Yeah, which team are we going to get here? If we get the Steelers teams anywhere near the second half in those games, they'll win this game. Tennessee does not have the offense really to compete right now. Maybe A.J. Brown's back, maybe. But it's hard to know with that team. And this is the last hurrah for them. They need to win this game. All right, if they lose this, their season is done. Right now, they still have a shot here. I'm going to take the more desperate team here. Give me the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, it is a tough breakdown because I'll tell you this, that, you know, you look at that game yesterday, and Tannehill was over 200. The running attack by Foreman, I mean, what did he have, 40, 50 yards on the ground? They're not going to win or go deep into the playoffs unless they can get that running game up to like 130, 140. Right? At least try and challenge teams and have more balance, because what happens when you can't run the football? Then you're in long, predictable third down situations that puts pressure on the offensive line. You mentioned Julio Jones. You mentioned A.J. Brown. They're basically hurt every other week. So every short, every throw is short to intermediate underneath coverage, and then every game mimics that loss on the road to Foxborough, in Foxborough against the New England Patriots, right, where you have to try and win a lower-scoring game. I guess right now, if you're Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers, do you just throw caution to the wind? I mean, you see players like Claypool, his head's not in the game. He's all about the me factor. We saw Ryan Clark come out and throw him under the bus being he's a selfish player. I mean, Big Ben's at the end of his career. I mean, you're staring basically, you know, just a mediocre season right in the face. You're basically a 500 team, but you want to make the playoffs. Do you just say, you know what, let's go all out and try and outscore an undermanned offense in Tennessee in this matchup?
You may have to, all right? And T.J. Watt's iffy to play in this game as well, right, because he has problems. So you just may have to here. Listen, do I think we're going to have to outscore? Of course you're going to have to outscore, but I think they have to put up some points. Yeah, I do. The defense hasn't played up to expectations of late. And if you don't have Watt, then you really lose. That guy's going to chase Tannehill all over the place. The run game for Tennessee shouldn't scare you. The pass game right now might not scare you, depending on whether or not A.J. Brown's back. It's just a game they have to win. They can't afford to lose this game. You're absolutely right about Claypool and what Ryan Clark said. I mean, that was a joke. What are you doing? What are you doing? And they just to blame other people. It's not his fault. Give me a break. That was pathetic. Really pathetic here. I'm just going with a team that needs to win more. All right, and I'm not sold on Tennessee. I think, once again, they may have taken their foot off the pedal a little bit. So that would be my thinking there. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh, a team that needs to win more.
Okay, so you said they're dead and buried if they lose this game, right? When you look at Pittsburgh to make the playoffs, FanDuel is dangling a carrot out there. Plus 690 to make the playoffs prior to this game. The no is minus 1,200. Would you pull the trigger on Big Ben? Do you believe in them enough where it's basically a 50-50 shot whether they win this game or not? But obviously they need to win it to make the playoffs. Would you take a shot at plus 690 when you think about some of the other teams in the AFC that maybe obviously are going to be in the running? Indianapolis is there. We saw Cincinnati fail to San Francisco in overtime. There's no guarantee the Miami Dolphins are going to make a run outside this game against the New York Jets. Still have to play the Patriots. Buffalo, I mean, they're reeling right now. Would you pull the trigger on this ugly Pittsburgh Steelers team at plus 690?
Probably not them alone. All right, because what you're looking at, Cincinnati lost yesterday, so one of these teams could possibly get in, but they all have horrific schedules. I mean, they're all rough schedules as far as Pittsburgh, Cleveland, you know, the Bengals now, you can throw them in here, and all the teams in the AFC West. Their old schedules are rough here. So you're really looking for the one that you think can get in here, and I wouldn't pick just one. I'd probably pick two or three and just need to hit one of those three to get to make money. I can make big money, but you need to hit one to make money. Do I think Pittsburgh gets in the end? I don't. I don't think they'll get in. I think they have a shot, sure, but I don't think they'll get in as far as that's going on here. But like I said, I might go with Pittsburgh. Yeah, Indianapolis, I think, has a good shot here. And I think Miami has the easiest schedule out of these teams. I think they've got really the best shot out of all the teams we could mention as far as possibilities to get in. Miami has the easiest schedule. The next 2 weeks, I think they play, what, the Jets, then the Saints. Yeah, the last 2 weeks is rough, but they play with Tennessee team that I'm not sold on. And last week against New England, maybe that game means nothing to the Patriots.
Yeah, well, it is intriguing. You talk about the Miami Dolphins, right? 6-7 plus 870, George, to make the playoffs. This number prior to that run, and I have to give Scott Wetzel credit. He said 36-1 pull the trigger. So, look at that. 36-1 to basically 9-1 right now for Miami. It's intriguing, FanDuel. I know you can hear me. They don't have Indy listed right now to make the playoffs. So I would say jump in, you know, put a bundle together. You know, Miami, Pittsburgh, and you could throw in Indianapolis. But how about Cincinnati at plus 166?
Boy, that loss yesterday was brutal for Cincinnati. I mean, really brutal. That's a game where, you know, you do the massive comeback and you still lose. And I suppose, and I put that on coaching, by the way. Everybody knew coming into the game that the way to beat the 49ers was through the year. They kept pounding, running, and going nowhere. Even when you got a chance to win the game late and decided to go back to the run game again. What are we doing here? What are we doing? It's just bad coaching. Cincinnati at Denver, Baltimore, Kansas City at Cleveland. Like I said, all these teams that were Pittsburgh's got the same kind of schedule. They're all brutal here. Brutal. I'll say no for Cincinnati. That was a game you had to win yesterday. At home, San Fran, you had the game. You lost it. Maybe you could beat Denver, but then Baltimore, Kansas City, Cleveland? That's a gauntlet, man. I'm going to say no, they don't get in.
I will say this in regards to potentially taking some teams outside, obviously the favorites, right? You look at Lamar Jackson, he leaves the game with an injury, right? Tyler Huntley comes in. You saw Josh Allen after the loss to Tampa Bay. He's in a walking boot. He's going to have tests today. Maybe Trubisky will have to lead that team for a game or two, depending upon the severity of that injury. So there is the potential where maybe you could steal a spot with one of these teams if maybe a starter goes down over the next 4 weeks, where, you know, obviously Joe Burrow at plus 166 is not that great of value. But if you want to take a flyer on somebody else, I believe the Raiders are plus 320. That's not bad in terms of the Raiders at plus 320. Excuse me, it's Denver at plus 320. Teddy Bridgewater, they get the victory over Detroit. They have the type of defense. If we're looking AFC outside the main contenders, maybe you take a shot even on Denver plus the 320 here.
I don't know if I can start. I mean, listen, they obliterated the Lions yesterday, but we knew that coming in, right? We knew the Lions were down, what, 23 players that were on either COVID or irregular injury list. They called up, 10 practice squad players. That was a joke of a game yesterday. I wonder if the NFL moves that game or at least postpones it a day or two, if not the fact that it was the Lions and they don't think they're going to win. Anyway, I think Denver has a shot, sure, but I think they might be one of the, out of all the teams we could possibly reach, I think they might be the last team I'd go with here. This is not a very good team. I don't trust Teddy Bridgewater all that much. You signed Cortland Sutton to that big contract. You haven't thrown more than 3 passes to him since. Weird. Weird how they're doing here. Love the run game, though. Javonte Williams is playing well. Melvin Gordon playing well, but I'll say Denver, no. They're not going to be a team to get in. Plus, you know, they got to break all those tiebreakers in the division just to get in. They're going to lose to the Chargers. You know, probably beat out the Raiders. I do think they have a shot because they're scheduled.
Melvin Gordon, 111 on the ground yesterday with 2 touchdowns. I mean, think about it. Teddy Bridgewater, the game manager. The problem is, and this is a big problem, is Vic Fangio. When push comes to shove, it's like if your life is on the line, right? Are you going to pull the trigger on Vic Fangio, Joe Judge, or Matt Nagy? You'd rather drown. then bet on those guys. I mean, it really is the truth. I mean, if your life is on the line and they said you have three coaches to pick from, which one are you going with? Joe Judge, Matt Nagy, or Vic Fangio?
Boy, I guess I'll go with the guy who has a winning record. Give me Fangio.
You'd say like this, I'll take the chair. Can I have my last meal? Where can I have the buffet at Golden Corral? You know, if I had a pick, I mean, it really is. But I will just say, the defense, the veteran quarterback, they have a stitch of a running game. You would have to lean at Denver plus 320, and obviously shorter odds than Miami. And Miami does have to get to 500 and then see what they could do over the last four games of the regular season. So we'll see how that plays out in that matchup. Let's turn our attention, George, one more game, and then we're going to be recapping these all week, obviously. But how about the toilet bowl between Houston and Urban Meyer calling out everybody? Do you know who Urban is? Show me your resume. I'm a winner. You're dirt. You're a loser. You're nothing. Okay? Get out of here. Do you know who I am? Urban Meyer and the Jacksonville Jaguars are actually favored over the Houston Texans this week. 3-point favorites, minus 106. 41 is the total. When Urban Meyer came out today and said, anyone who leaks the stories about his argument with Marvin Jones earlier in the week and that the team is disgruntled, guess what? You're on the chopping block. Gone. Fired. Pink slip. Happy holidays. It's my way or the highway. What do you think about that, George?
Well, that's probably true of most teams. You know, you find the guy who's leaking things, you are going to get rid of that person. So that doesn't bother me. All right? I don't think there's any shock there. As far as everything else, I mean... Oh, God. It's just not good, right? I mean, Collins, he's been he's a very loyal guy. We've seen that in the past here. I think he has come out and said he's going to keep Urban. And my question is this. You know, does Urban want to be there anymore? Yeah, is he just done? Is he just done?
He is. But you know what? If you're gonna abuse everybody, I would love one of these coaches to say, step up. Hey, Urban, you suck. Okay? You're grinding with a 20-year-old girl and you're married, all right? Mr., you know, pray for everybody. Why don't you step up and man up? How about that? I'm just saying, if you want to call it out, if he wants to call out people, why don't these guys, because they're afraid of their job, they'll get another job. You're telling me these regurgitated assistant coaches, Mike Sherman, lasted in the year. He should have been a used car salesman in terms of what he did. I mean, George, come on. It's amazing. When we come back, George and I will wrap it up. I know George has some comments. We'll talk about the Week 14 action, turn our attention to some of the breakdowns of Week 15. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Recapping the show and wrapping it up, it was a quick first hour and great games this past weekend and some more really good ones in week number 15. How about San Francisco and Atlanta? Atlanta steps up with the 29-21 victory over Matt Rhule and Carolina. Arthur Smith and the crew are now 6-7. They're on the outside looking in for a potential wild card berth. Matty Ice maybe he's rejuvenated with this offense. And Kyle Pitts and Gage stepped up yesterday. And Cordarrelle Patterson. Now, George, they're catching 8.5 this coming weekend on the road in San Fran. I know San Fran's the better team, but I'm inclined to pull the trigger on the Falcons and the Dirty Birds. Minus 106 on FanDuel, total is set at 46. Give me the Falcons and give me the over in this ballgame.
You know, the Falcons still have a shot. I mean, it's an outside shot, but they've got a shot to make the playoffs. So the game is important to them, and this is a team they have to beat. If they beat San Fran's in a playoff spot right now, but if they beat San Fran, they would have the tiebreaker over San Fran. This is a big game. It's a huge game here. I think San Fran wins it. It's in San Fran. I'm going to go with you. Give me the Birds to cover. I think they'll cover the spread here. That's a big game, but give me Falcons to cover, but lose the game.
Yeah. The other one is Joe Burrow. Do you have faith that Joe Burrow on the road in Denver as a 1-point dog can get it done over Vic Fangio right here, right now, plus 100 on the money line?
I mean, Burrow, the Bengals lost it because of coaching. It took them too long to realize, oh, yeah, we do have to throw the ball against San Fran. Maybe they were trying to protect Burrow, whatever it might have been. But even at the end of the game, when Burrow was on fire again, you still went back to trying to pound the ball, which is not how you beat the 49ers. I think it was on coaching. Burrow is fine. Give me the Bengals.
Yeah, and the pinky didn't look like it was an issue in the fourth quarter when he was throwing and tossing the ball around. That does fall solely on Zach Taylor in that ballgame. George and I are going to be here all week breaking down the upcoming action for George Kurtz, our great producer, Andrew Torres. I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great night, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow. Keep it on the grid. Have a great day.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.